18 through 23, the disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men came to him, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me."
Awesome. Thank you so much, Casey. I'll say a prayer. Lord Jesus, we just come before you now as we just kind of turn our attention to your word to hear from you, Jesus. I pray that you would speak. Speak to us now, God. Just the words you want us to hear. Not a word more, not a word less than what's needed. I pray that you just help me right now, God, to just be your mouthpiece, Jesus. That really everything else would just kind of disappear, that Seth would just kind of fade away, even just kind of disappear, so that Jesus, we would see more and more of you, and that we could just grow in our faith, that we could maybe be challenged this morning, and just receive whatever's needed this morning. Please just do that work that only your Holy Spirit can do. We pray that boldly. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's quick watch this video.
You don't want to go for a ride, do you? We could get out of the palace, see the world.
Is it safe?
Sure. Do you trust me?
What?
Do you trust me?
Yes.
I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid, right? Yeah. Something, something's a princess, man and heart desire, a whole new world. Don't you dare close your eyes. A new end. I don't know how it all goes. I just love that so much. So that's a way super cheesy intro to my message, but it's going to like the heart really fast of what we're trying to do, which is really simply kind of today to kind of tell you what Jesus is asking you to do today, which is simply, will you trust me? Jesus is asking you, will you trust me? That's cheesy. I know, cheesy. Get Aladdin out of you as soon as you can. Try to get that away. But will you trust me no matter what? No matter what's going on, no matter how crazy things are, no matter, and really where I want to go today, this is kind of where we're going to camp out and spend some time. Where we're really going to go is when your experiences and your experience right now, kind of where life is right now for you, when your experience isn't matching up with your expectations. You kind of have exactly what it's going to look like here. Boom, boom, boom. And when life isn't matching up with what you expected to take place, do you trust me? Do you still trust me even in the midst of that? So today, the guy who's going to help us from God's word is the John the Baptist. You ever hear of this guy? John the Baptist, he's in the Bible. Right? Now, the reason I picked John the Baptist for today, we're in a series called The Arrival, and we're looking at and really kind of setting up for the arrival of Jesus, right, and his birth. And leading up to that, we're going to be looking at three different biblical characters. Last week was King David. This week, we're looking at John the Baptist. And part of the reason I put John the Baptist where I put him is because of our ugly sweater contest. In the Bible, it actually says that John wore a garment of camel's hair. This guy would win the contest, right? He'd win the ugly sweater contest. And so it's like, we got to talk about John, because John the Baptist would have an ugly Christmas sweater, or he'd have a camel on him, and none of you have a camel on you. Giving you ideas for next year, right? So John the Baptist is a fascinating biblical character that I just kind of want to highlight a little bit today, and I think you're going to get blown away in just a minute by something that takes place, a story that happens that we're going to be looking at. You just heard it, actually, from Miss Casey. But John the Baptist is, first of all, he's a cousin of Jesus. He's a relative of Jesus. We don't know how closely connected necessarily John was with Jesus, but we do know that they were relatives. And so John was born like the exact same time that Jesus was born, okay? And John actually, his mom and Jesus' mom, they were connected, and they had even gotten together for a little bit. When Mary walked in the room, John the Baptist, who was still in the womb as well, he leapt for joy when Jesus came in. And so John and Jesus just had a connection right from the start. And you can kind of learn about that story in the Bible too, okay? But John and Jesus were connected and knew each other well. They were relatives. They were family. John actually, as he kind of grew up, he became like a preacher. And he actually became pretty good at this. And as you kind of read through some of the Gospels, you can see John kind of down by the river. He's out in the wilderness. But people are coming. Like, he's starting to get a following of people. And so these people are coming out to listen to John and hear from him different things. And he's actually, quite a bit of people are coming together around him. You know, there's a church actually down South Houston. I don't know the name of the church. But I heard that for Christmas Eve, they're giving away a car or something like that. Did you hear about this? Have you heard about that? I'm not going to lie. I may not be here Christmas Eve. I'm just letting you know, I'd be down there if I were you guys. Like, I'm not going to hold it against you if you go out, go for a new car. But I'm like, wow, that's a good way to get people to come to your church, right? I mean, that's kind of crazy. But I'm like, wow, that'll do it. John, he's not doing that. John isn't doing that. He's actually coming after people. He's telling them, repent. Turn from your sin, you sinners. And he's still getting all these people coming out to check him out. And people are... He's got a big crowd of people. He's actually doing pretty good. And then it kind of even goes a little further. John actually starts to have like some disciples. So some people who are like, I'm a disciple of John. I follow what John teaches me. And so John he just continues to increasingly do well. He's got his followers. He's got his disciples. He's not going to be like Fun Bobby necessarily from Friends or something. Right, and only a few of you will get that connection. But he's not like your fun guy, maybe go party, hey, good buddy. But he's respected, he's doing well, he's got connections with Jesus himself. And then John, he starts to say some things to one of the rulers, King Herod, who's ruling during this time. And King Herod, he ended up taking his brother's wife. And this wasn't cool to John, and so John called him out on it. And he did it in such a way that really ticked off Herod, and Herod actually locked John up in prison. And so when Casey was reading what she just read, John is in jail. John's in jail. But it's okay, right? Because why? Because John is connected to Jesus. And John knows that Jesus is the Messiah, doesn't he? You look at a prophecy like even back in Isaiah chapter 61. This is what, there's prophecies all over the scriptures, but here's one of them. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And this would be the Messiah. This is hundreds of years before Jesus shows up. This would be the Messiah. The Messiah would come and do these things. And even in Luke chapter 4, we actually see Jesus opening up the scriptures to this text and saying, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. I am the guy. And John knows this. John knows this. At one point, he even sees Jesus coming down by the water. He says, behold, the Lamb of God. He points. I almost made today's message about pointing, but he points and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or you could even almost, like, who carries the sin of the world. I mean, John knows this Jesus dude's a big deal. And so he's just locked up in prison. And, I mean, I'm connected to this Messiah guy. This is going to be okay, right? But then John's experience. Begins to not reflect his expectations. I don't know if you. Have you ever doubted? I know there might be some people in here who are. Or maybe an atheist or agnostic or something. And that's cool. That's totally fine. But those of you who are like Christians, have you ever like doubted? Like you know Jesus is the Messiah. But then an experience that you start to feel takes place and it drives you to kind of wonder. Because what does John do here? What did the text say? John actually grabs a couple of his disciples from prison. He's in prison. He grabs two of his disciples and he says, I want you to go ask this Jesus guy, what? Are you the one to come? Are you the Messiah? Or should we be expecting somebody else? And so this is freeing to me because it's like even John the Baptist is kind of struggling with his own experience of what's taking place. He had his expectations of how life is going to look and work and everything is going to happen according to plan. And then it starts to not happen that way. And so his experience is driving him to go check. How about you guys go see if he's really the Messiah? But John knows he's the Messiah. Have you ever just kind of wondered, like, you know he's the Messiah, but your sin is still there? Or like the consequences of your sin, kind of your experience of what you're feeling right now, where you're at in life is, I don't know, maybe he's not. Can I trust him? So John sends some guys, but here's what's really crazy to me. Jesus' reply. And Jesus actually begins to tap into this Isaiah, not only this passage in chapter 61 of Isaiah, but really just Isaiah as a whole and some of the prophecies that take place. And what does Jesus say to John's disciples? Did you notice this? Listen to what he says. Verse 21, in that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, go and tell John this. This is not what I want you to tell John. Go tell him what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Yeah. Lepers are cleansed. And you can think of, you can see John in prison hearing this stuff. Yeah, that's what the Messiah is going to do. Yep, good. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. Whoa. And John, I kind of envision him going, yep, that's what I've been thinking the whole time. Yeah, keep going. The poor have good news preached to them. Good, yeah. Have you ever found yourself in this kind of pattern in life? Like, yep, Jesus, I'm tracking with you. This is how it's supposed to work. Yep, got my job. Nice. Awesome. My family's all healthy. This is how it's supposed to look. Perfect. Yep. See, we have all these expectations of how we think life is supposed to just kind of unfold. We even surround ourselves with people, right, who can kind of help us. Like, okay. That family's, they got it. So I'm going to make sure I'm kind of close to them so that then my life kind of looks like that, right? Boom, 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 and everything's going to just keep, right? And we have these expectations. John knows that the Isaiah passage comes. I mean, John knows the scriptures. John knows that the Isaiah passage includes freedom from prison. Uh-oh. Right? John knows this. Now, I mean, you can interpret that Isaiah passage actually a little bit more on the blind side too, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus already touches on that. And so John knows that included in that kind of Isaiah prophecy is a God who will come and free people from bondage. And John is in bondage. He's in prison. I'm following you. Just keep on talking, Jesus. And then Jesus gets to the point. The cousin of John. I mean, a relative, folks. This guy's got connections. And he gets to the section where Jesus is supposed to say, and I'm freeing people from prison. I'm freeing people from bondage. And Jesus never says it. That rocked my world, folks, this past week. Just letting you know. Boom. When I heard that, hashtag boom. I was so fired up. I just couldn't even believe it that God did that. Jesus did that to John. He led him right down this path. I'll do exactly as long as everything goes according to my plan. I'm going to be right there with you. Yep, get me out of this prison. And Jesus never says it. Instead, Jesus, he puts the key into John and twists it here. Not only doesn't he say it, he says this. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Instead of Jesus meeting the things that John expected to have happen and take place, Jesus says, I got a different path for you, brother. And it's one where I'm simply asking you, will you trust me? That's all I'm asking. Do you trust me? Are you going to follow me no matter what? And we know how the story of John the Baptist ends. It doesn't end pretty. He never gets out of prison. He gets, you know, we'll keep a PG here, but he gets the old noggin whacked. That's code. That's code, right? He just stays in prison. He gets murdered. In the most, just go read the story sometime. It's just a like crazy, silly way. Like, what the heck? Somebody that Jesus himself says, John is such an amazing guy. Do you have it all planned out? I'm gonna get married, and then I see how it's going to look. I'm going to start going back to church. I'm going to really make church a big deal in my life. Okay, let's get that baby figured out. And then I just kind of know how it's going to work. I'm going to say these things. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to kind of work some of the angles. Jesus. Yep, I'm following you. Everything's good. I mean, we start to expect. I mean, our little baby inside Jackie, like, the expectation is that it's healthy and great and it lives to 90 and everything's perfect and loo, right? Maybe not. Maybe that's not how that unfolds. The finances got to get better in 2018. Life's got to get better. Maybe not. Maybe 2018's like the year of cancer for you. It's really hard to even just kind of even sit and kind of process some of this. But Jesus comes back, and we think we know exactly what he's going to say. John knows the next words out of Jesus' mouth, and then he doesn't say it. I I think Jesus is simply asking you today, don't be offended by me. Now, I always struggle with the why of any sermon. And this is a bit of a struggle for me. Because part of me wants to ask the question, well, why would I trust Jesus then? Why would I trust him, right? Isn't that kind of the question? Like, well, why would I follow this guy if all of my kind of expectations might not even be met? And my experiences might not reflect that? See, when we begin to cry out, where are you, God? Are you really the Messiah? God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? You got to hear this really clearly, because this blew me away when I really stopped and made the connections. When we ask that question, which you can go over in the Psalms and you can see all over the place, people all over Scripture saying, where are you, God? Where are you? What are you doing? You're not meeting my expectations. This isn't looking the way I want it to look. Come on, God, where are you? Where? God never actually leaves you. But Jesus, in Mark chapter 15, hanging on the cross, verse 34, when his arms are spread open and he says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, when Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, Jesus, Jesus, when he gets connected to you, he begins to be the one who cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, John thinks Jesus doesn't understand. Jesus knows John doesn't have a clue. You follow that thought? John thinks Jesus doesn't understand. Come on, man. You got some political followers. I got some political followers. The least you could do is get me out of prison. That would have been easy to have happen. Jesus could have easily gotten John out of prison. But Jesus knew something that John didn't know. Jesus knew that he had to go to the cross where God would actually turn his back on Jesus. So that wouldn't have to happen for us. So that God actually is with us. I mean, that's the name of our church, the dwelling. Jesus, God wants to come and actually dwell with us, to do life with us. Yes, to have corners and angles in our life and things that take place that are beyond our expectation and to help us through the year that we get cancer and to help us through the year that we lose loved ones and to help us through the year that things take place. There are the joys. I mean, it could be all sorts of things. And Jesus wants to be with us. You. And he asks you to simply trust him in the midst of that because he knows that he has been rejected by God for us. I am not preaching that the way that deserves. And I know that because I'm feeling like maybe some connections aren't being made, but that thought is so powerful. So just, you got to meditate on it a little bit. Because I'm not preaching that baby like it needs to be preached. But God is for you. God wants to be with you. And he walks with us in such a way that we would actually trust him more. And we would begin to trust him more. And begin to trust him even more. This is worthy of praise and honor and thanks to him. Do you trust me? No matter what, even when the expectations kind of go in a different direction, this is what I want you to be thinking about. The Aladdin thing, kind of a cheesy little thing, but Jesus, man, do you trust me? Aladdin, man, Jasmine should not trust Aladdin to go on a magic carpet ride. At some point, you know, Jasmine falls off that baby one day and she dies, you know. See, Jesus doesn't drop us, though. Jesus doesn't drop us. It's sometimes our experience feels like that. But all he's doing is driving us to trust him more and more and more and wants to someday be with us for all of eternity. And we have a God who goes with us right through life. Looks a little different than we thought. Yeah. Let's pray. Jesus. Jesus, that word by you, that we would not be offended by you, that we would see you as the Messiah, that we would see you as our Savior, is such a powerful word, God. And Jesus, we really don't know. John really never was left to himself. I mean, yes, in prison, but not by you, God. But Jesus, you were forsaken by God. You paid the price for our sin. So that exactly what took place earlier in the service where we say, your sins are forgiven, so that that could take place and be real in our lives. Jesus, for that we are so eternally thankful. We are eternally in your debt. We just love what you do. And yeah, you do stuff that's just crazy sometimes. Yeah, you're throwing curveballs all over the place. Jesus, forgive us for the times when we kind of say, I'm tracking with you, I'm tracking with you, I'm tracking with you, as long as. Please help us, Jesus, to be tracking with you, tracking with you, tracking with you, even when we don't know. Even when it starts to go all kapooey and what the heck are you doing? Help us to keep trusting you, Jesus. It's what matters most. Jesus, this message, this word to our flesh, to ourself, without your Spirit helping us, it is offensive. It's actually an offensive message, Jesus. And so I pray now, Jesus, that you'd break our hearts so that we wouldn't be offended by you. We need your Spirit to help us with that. So bad. So much of it doesn't make sense. But we thank you that you are a God who has Bible story after Bible story after Bible story of guys who are saying, I don't know, I'm struggling with this. Because Jesus, that's us. We're struggling with this stuff. We're struggling to understand. But thank you, God, for not leaving us. Thanks for walking with us. Thank you for understanding that we don't understand. Like a little baby. You must just treat us like little babies, God. And I just thank you for that. Just coming down and just cooing and cawing to us. I'm going to help you. Don't worry. Just trust me. Just trust me. I got you. I got you. We love you so much, Jesus. We're going to keep following you. We're just going to keep following you wherever you take us. In Jesus' name.